Now, more of Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak to Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, or 1-800-491-CJAD.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800, and this is indeed Holder Tonight, heard Monday through Friday until 10, and we still have in studio with us David Eady, financial advisor from the Wealth Management Group. If you have any questions or comments, 7900-991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa Hull area, and also the border states. Those are the numbers to call. So it's a small world, isn't it, Dave? Our last guest, Keith Matthews, who's the author of The Empowered Investor, A Guide to Building Better Portfolios.
Yes, it is a small world.
Works in your building. Have you actually ever seen each other in the building?
It's a possibility. I'm not very sociable when I walk in the building.
Well, that's true.
See, we got to talk like that before. That don't sound right.
You opened that door.
It was like a little joke. You're supposed to go, oh, no, Dave, you're very sociable. You're a nice guy.
I'm not allowed to lie on the air.
See? How's that look again? You followed up with that. How's that supposed to look? No, yeah. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
It's a great book. People should go out and get it. It's really, based on the subject and building a better portfolio, leads into our next guest, because once you build that portfolio, you're also thinking down in the future in terms of what your retirement's going to look like.
And speaking of our next guest, that would be Diane McCurdy, who is the author of How Much is Enough? Balancing Today's Needs with Tomorrow's Retirement Goals. Hi, Diane. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Fine. Thanks for being on the program with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Right off the bat, love the title. How Much is Enough? Because I'm sure that's in the back of a lot of people's minds.
And, well, you want the short answer?
Yeah.
The short answer is more is better.
Mm-hmm.
But really, no, all joking aside, there is a unique number for everybody. You know, you hear everybody always talking about you need $1 million, you need $2 million, you need 70% of your last year's earnings. In reality, it's based on your lifestyle. So in the book, there's a bit of homework that you have to do, but if you figure out how much you're currently spending, how much, you know, where you're at, your assets minus your liabilities, what your net worth is now, then you take those numbers and you can run them, and you can actually figure out how much you need. You know, some people can retire on $400,000.
But you mentioned the important word, and you hear it all the time, and that's lifestyle. But I don't think a lot of people take into consideration that once you retire, your lifestyle changes.
Well, some of your bills are gone.
Yeah.
But I think, but that's there's another part in the book where you work out what your goals are and what your dreams are and how do you turn those dreams into reality. Like, a lot of people haven't even thought about what they want. You know, they're just kind of going along and sort of grabbing things as they go, but, you know, not getting a lot of satisfaction. Whereas if you sit down and you actually do your goals and make them happen and have, you know, that's why, you know, balancing today's needs. So you also have some, you know, some little wins along the way, so it's not all saved for retirement.
Well, it's the important thing is setting the goals, but do you feel that people do, you know, pretty much use their imagination to think about what retirement might be like, or it's just always off in the future? You know, it's either maybe not 55, but it's going to be 60, 61, and they really haven't given any thought.
Well, there's a couple of things. One is that there was a recent study, and this is with boomers, and 76% of boomers say they want to work past retirement, and 67% of them said it's because they want the mental challenge. They're afraid. You know, there's 8,000 centurions in Canada, and they're really afraid that, you know, they're going to have 45 years of playing golf. Like, they could get a little bored with that. You know, they want to do more than that. And unless you have a really great hobby or you have some activity that's going to keep you mentally active, people are thinking, you know, they want to work a little longer. 42% of them said they want retirement to look like half leisure and half work.
So it's basically the mental stimulation. Is it also because the social interaction of getting up, going to work, being around people, maybe not sitting in traffic, but it's just they're used to that pattern?
Well, I think it's really important, and a lot of them, when they're thinking of retirement, and I've even had that happen in my office now, where, you know, a police chief, you know, the stress of the job, he retired and then decided, well, what he wanted to do is he wanted to drive a tour bus so he could have the interaction, exactly what you're saying, with people, and he loved it. So, you know, everyone's different, and that's why the book is geared about each single person. You're unique to yourself. There's also a quiz in the book. And the quiz tells you your personality and your attitude about money. You have an emotional attitude, and you're not going to change it. And you fall into four broad categories. a builder, a saver, a giver, a spender, and you're generally a combination of those four. But if you don't have some of that in your planning, you're not going to be happy. So if you're a giver and your partner says, no, you shouldn't be giving to charity or you shouldn't be spending your time doing that, you're going to be unhappy. So if you're in a, you know, if you have a partner, you're married, your family, your children are different, you have to accommodate everybody in the family. So everybody's unique. It's not some sort of, you know, one number is good, for, you know, enough for everybody.
But it's difficult for a lot of people that I find is for them to put, it's not so much the dollar amount, it's to think about what they're going to do. I think that's the big mental challenge for a lot of people.
Well, and I think you're absolutely right. Like, people are so busy today. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of people, you know, they're taking care of their their parents, they're taking care of their kids. Even some people are even taking care of their kids' kids. And so they don't have a lot of time, you know, when you fit in work, to think about the future. But if you, you know, use the tools in the book, it would take you, I would say, a day to work it out. And then once you have it, you spend an hour a month, and you're going to have a lot more satisfaction with that goal setting. You know, you only have 365 days a year, 24 hours a day like everybody else, and how are you going to use them?
Do you feel that, you know, how the media has played up or, you know, a certain institution had made Freedom 55 or retirement at 55 a reachable
mantra.
A mantra.
Yeah, well, the joke now is, you know, it's Freedom 95.
Oh, ouch.
Well, and it's not true. It's never too late. And people can, you know, I've seen people who have been in a real pickle, and in 5 years, if they really sit down and really have a hard look at their finances, can turn it around. So it's never too late. But I think it was unrealistic to think that, you know, maybe you started really working at age 30. You know, you bought a house, you raised your kids, and then you were going to retire at 55 and live for another 45 years. Like, how could you possibly save enough to do that?
And be lying on that beach watching that boat go by that they were, mm-hmm.
they were
picturing for you.
Well, they were very cautious about those ads. They started out with, the, you know, then it was that you could do this sometimes. So, and now the reality is that, you know, it's going to take a little bit more.
Apparently everyone wants to drive a 1966 Mustang, too. And you know how expensive it is to keep one of those up on the road every year? We are talking with Diane McCurdy. She's the author of How Much Is Enough? Balancing Today's Needs with Tomorrow's Retirement Goals. Also in studio with us, David Eady, financial advisor from the Wealth Management Group. This is Montreal's News Talk leader, CJD 800. Let's check traffic.
Now, more of Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800. To speak to Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, or 1-800-491-CJAD.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk leader, CJD 800. And we are talking to David Eady, financial advisor from the Wealth Management Group. Also on the line, Diane McCurdy, who is the author of How Much Is Enough? Balancing Today's Needs with Tomorrow's Retirement. She's also an advisor and a Vancouver-based financial planner with more than 25 years' experience. And I notice, Diane, that you're also a member of the Million Dollar Roundtable, which is a group of top financial planners from 61 countries. And I bring that up because I'm just wondering, we often have financial planners on the program, but we never talk about how we differ in financial planning from other parts of the world, if at all, do we?
Interestingly enough, most people want what we want. We, you know, everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to take care of their family. I think basically everyone's the same. You know, they have maybe different tax rules, different legislation, different ways of doing it. You know, some countries are really lucky; they have little tax. You know, we have a lot of tax. But I think and it's very nice to know that actually. And you always wonder if your country's, you know, are we on the leading edge or not? Or, you know, we're as current as anybody.
In the book, you talk about it's never too late or too early to do any financial planning. When if someone's thinking about the future and their retirement, and they're saying, you know what, maybe I should start, and every year or every February it goes by with RSP season, and they says, you know what, next year I'm going to start. When is a good time to start?
Always now is the best time to start. And what you do is you take it off the top. Like, you'll always have, there'll be always something that'll come up that'll grab that money if you leave it sitting there. So you just take, you know, even just start with 5%, 10%, take it right off the top and put it into an automatic savings program.
And
another way to save extra money, you know, a lot of people are, you know, having lattes every day or they're buying their lunch. Well, if you just give up, you know, bag your lunch or give up one of your lattes a day, put that money into a savings program.
Yeah, well, we've been doing this program more or less off and on for, well, not more or less off and on, consistently rather, for almost 16 years now. And I remember the very, very, very first show, David, when you were on, you said you got to pay yourself before you pay your bills.
Pay yourself first.
And that's a piece of advice that has stuck with me since day one. It's exactly what you just said, Diane.
Well, it's the only way to do it because there's always something whispering to you that, you know, you're talking about that that Mustang or whatever it is that's going to be beckoning that money. You know, a child that says, you know, that they want to take that, you know, that wants that design or something.
Now, everybody has, and you're talking about pretty much the unique goals that people have. You as a financial advisor, what are some of the goals that you've heard people talk about in terms of what they're planning for their retirement? Is it just, well, of course, I love golf, but you're not going to play the golf, as you said, for the next 45 years. I don't see why that should be a problem. But anyway, the point I'm looking at is, give me some examples of some of the retirement goals people have come to you to talk about. I could start off and tell you by one client, and Peter likes to laugh about it, how this particular individual wants to start a chicken farm when he retires.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised. A lot of people, you know, if they've lived in the city, want to move to the country, or they want a cabin, they want a getaway place, or they want a place to ski. You know, some people want things that they're going to enjoy now and later, so they're thinking about that. Or, you know, somebody wants to work with their hands, like maybe they've had, you know, they're a computer geek, and now what they'd like to do is some woodworking, and I've seen that. So everybody's goals are different, but if they have the time to sit down, and when there's a couple, I tell them to do a wish list as well. So that's things that you're going to get, you know, in the near future. And I get couples to do them separately. So because one person, they don't mean to dominate, or one person's more creative, so if they do them separately, and then they get together. And sometimes they're saying, honey, I didn't even know you wanted to do that. I'd like to go to Greece too, or whatever it happens to be. And then they prioritize them. And sometimes they're different. So sometimes you have to take turns because there's not enough money to do them all. But then people, when they're giving up something, they don't mind because there's a bigger goal there. There's a bigger, you know, they're starting to live the life the way they want to.
Now, there are several groups of people, different types of people when it comes to investing, and we often talk about getting people onto the merry-go-round of investing, and the people who have a difficulty in finding money to put away to save for their retirement. But we rarely talk about the other end of the scale, and that is the person who seems to be saving for retirement at the detriment of living and spending right now.
And that's the traditional saver. And they feel pretty arrogant, actually, as savers, because they say, like, I can't understand why somebody can't give up a latte, and I can't understand why they can't save any money. But the problem is that those people wait until they're too old or it's too late. And I remind all those savers that you're going to be givers on death, so you better be enjoying your money along the way.
Yeah.
But to them, how much is enough?
Well, that's, and they really have security. You know, money for them, that pile of money, is security. And a lot of those people maybe grew up in the Depression, or they're children of depression parents, and they were really influenced by them. And so they're really afraid. So that's why if you do calculations, you can see, like, you can't even spend your interest, like, get going already. So that's why they have to see hard numbers. They need to see it in print. And those people then will let loose of the purse strings.
We are talking with Diane McCurdy. She is the author of How Much Is Enough? Balancing Today's Needs with Tomorrow's Retirement Goals. We also have in studio with us David Eady, financial advisor with the Wealth Management Group. We have a few more minutes to go with Diane. This is Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800.
You're listening to Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. We have in studio with us David Eady, financial advisor from the Wealth Management Group. We are talking with Diane McCurdy, who is the author of How Much Is Enough? Balancing Today's Needs with Tomorrow's Retirement Goals.
When we were talking before the break, we're talking about, you know, people that are saving and they save too much and they end up with so much cash. Do you think it's important that, and is that why you put in the book about rewarding yourself in a big way and little ways for staying on track? And because you're trying to find a balance between today's lifestyle and what you're actually basically doing is having a larger pile of money to change your lifestyle later on.
Absolutely. And then the other point that we didn't talk about before the break was then when savers know they have enough and they're enjoying it along the way, and they will, if they actually see it in black and white, then they also even get a little bit more adventuresome in their investments, because savers are inclined to want to just buy term deposits, you know, and be really, really safe. So once they feel comfortable, then they're quite happy to be on the bandwagon of having a balanced portfolio as well.
So what's been the response from clients and also other people in terms of the book and what you were trying to achieve when you wrote it?
Well, what happened when I wrote it was that was the question in everybody's mind. Like when they would come in the office and they were feeling uncertain or afraid and not knowing what they were going to do or, you know, or else burying their heads in the sand. I said to them, well, is the question on your mind that you want to know how much is enough for you to retire? And that was the question that they wanted answered. So that's why I titled the book, How Much is Enough? It was a question on many people's minds.
One of the things you have in the book, too, are 20 key strategies for making enough from how much is enough. You have 20 key strategies, and we haven't got time to go through all of them. But what do you feel are the most important?
Well, I think, number one is that you want to, with the tax rates that we have in Canada, you want to take advantage of RSPs. You want to make sure that you don't have any personal debt, that if you can pay it down as quickly as possible, you want to pay your visa off. You know, you don't want to spend more money than you have each month. You want to take that 10, if you can get to 20% off the top, you should be doing that. You should be, there's so many things. I mean, there's way more than 20.
I know you already mentioned, for instance, it's never too late to or too early to start financial planning. You mentioned that earlier. A little is better than nothing, which I guess a lot of people never realize that it's like a snowball rolling down the hill. It starts off very small, but some people feel they don't have enough to invest. But that's something I hear all the time.
If you gave up that latte and a muffin every day, that's $5.
Yep.
$5 at 5% in 20 years is $65,000. That's kind of better than a pig in a poke. And most people could save more than $5 a day. So it's going to make a difference. You know, and even people that start really, really, really late, at least they know where they're at. You know, a lot of people lose a lot of sleep because they know they should be doing something and they're just sort of frozen.
And is that how you ended off with the 20th strategy in terms of knowing where you are on the road to where you're going? So is that pretty much a snapshot to make sure that you make different pit stops along the way? To find out if you're on track and staying focused?
Well, yes. It's all about quality of life and the quality of life that you want. And I've seen people have an incredible quality of life earning very little. So you don't have to be making a fortune to have a good quality of life. You just don't want to be chasing what the neighbors are doing. I really did have this happen. A client of mine came into the office who was incredibly successful, and he was, he said, Diane, we're not taking enough risk. And I said, everything's going so well. You own your home. You own everything. You're maxed on your RSPs. You've got lots of money outside your RSPs. You know, what's really bothering you? And he was saying, it's the neighbor across the street. He has the same profession I do, and I know what he makes. And he's got two Range Rovers in his driveway, and he's taking 3 vacations a year. His kids are going to private school. He's bought them all cars. Like, I'm doing something wrong. And I said, your neighbor, we don't know about your neighbor. He could have inherited money, or he could be in debt up to his eyeballs. We don't know. But what is it that you really want? And he wanted to buy a ski place. I said, you have the money. So he left my office happy. We never changed his investment. And it was unbelievable. Within the week, the guy across the street came into my office. He was up to his debt. He was up to his eyeballs in debt. And he had to move out of the neighborhood. He was going down for the count. Mm. And this guy was wanting to be like him.
Well, when the guy said, what am I doing wrong? I would have said to him, close the blinds. That's basically.
I wish I'd thought of that. But he was too serious for that. I wish I'd thought of that.
The book is called How Much is Enough? Balancing Today's Needs with Tomorrow's Retirement Goals. It's written by Diane McCurdy. I thank you very much, Diane, for taking the time to be on the program with us this evening.
Well, thanks, Peter. It's been a pleasure being there with you and your audience. And with David.
Take care.
All right, bye now.
Bye-bye. Diane McCurdy, author of How Much is Enough? Balancing Today's Needs with Tomorrow's Retirement Goals. We have in studio with us David Eady, financial advisor from the Wealth Management Group. We'll continue on the other side of the news. This is Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800.